Easy FM.
Hi, I'm Stuart from Mogwai.
I'm Barry from Mogwai.
Hi, I'm Andy Summers.
Hey, this is Owen from the XX, and you're listening to Easy FM.
Hi, this is Kevin Barnes from Of Montreal, and you're listening to Easy FM.
Radio. Three.
Hi, I'm Benjamin Francis Leftwich.
Hey, it's Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars.
你正在收听的是轻松调频 EZFM， 我们是
Casino Demon。
The world is changing fast, but you can learn it at a slower pace.
Special English.
You're listening to Special English. I'm Tony Reid in Beijing.Here's the news. China has launched the Shenzhou 15 crewed spaceship from the Jiuquan Satellite Launch Center in northwestern China. Chinese astronauts Fei Junlong, Deng Qingming, and Zhang Lu have been selected to carry out the Shenzhou 15 space mission.The trio stay briefly in the space station with the three-person Shenzhou 14 crew before the latter head back to Earth. According to the China Manned Space Agency, the Shenzhou 15 crew will stay in orbit for 6 months. This is Special English. China's solar exploration satellite has transmitted its first solar image since being sent to space in October. According to Gan Weichun, the satellite's principal scientist,From the Chinese Academy of Sciences, the Advanced Space-Based Solar Observatory, nicknamed Kuafu-1 in Chinese, sent hard X-ray imaging of solar flares. Gan said the image was taken by the satellite-loaded hard X-ray imager.Although still in the testing period, the imaging effect is excellent, allowing the effective identification of both the eruptive details and the fine structure of the sun. Kuafu-1 was launched aboard a Long March 2D rocket on October 9th.From the Jiuquan Satellite Launch Center in northwest China. The space-borne solar observatory, named after Kuafu, a giant in Chinese mythology who indefatigably chased the sun, runs in a sun-synchronous orbit, which is not hampered by the Earth's rotation.While an Earth-based telescope can see the sun only in the daytime. Gan said the observatory is capable of probing the sun 24 hours a day for most of the year. Its longest daily time out is no more than 18 minutes,when briefly running through the shadow of Earth each day from May to August. You're listening to Special English. I'm Tony Reid in Beijing. China won the 2022 Men's World Team Chess Championship after beating the reigning chess Olympiad champion,Uzbekistan, in the final in Jerusalem, Israel. China won twice, 2.5 to 1.5 in the doubleheader final match to win the title for the third time after taking the gold in 2015 and 2017. China won the first match thanks to a win by Bai Jingshi with tied games in other three boards. In the second match, Li Di was victorious, while the other three games of the match again ended in a draw. China's Liu Shenglei and Xu Xiangyu also contributed two draws each. According to China captain Wen Yang, a gold medalist from the 2017 championship, this is the first time that these young players participated in such high-level games. He accredited the team's victory to good teamwork. Speaking highly of their rivals from Uzbekistan in the finals, one noted that being part of the games at such a high level has gained valuable experience in the international arena. Spain won the bronze medal after a double 2-2 draw and a tie-breaking 3-1 blitz match against India. This is Special English. Australian researchers have warned that the world's largest penguin species is facing extinction within 30 years. Barbara Winnick, a senior research scientist at the Australian Antarctic Division, revealed that modeling suggests the iconic emperor penguin could be virtually extinct by 2050. Endemic to Antarctica, the emperor penguin is the largest of the 18 penguin species, growing up to 1.3 meters tall. Raising their young on fast ice, the ice that is locked between islands or icebergs has made emperor penguins particularly vulnerable to the effects of climate change, with colonies already disappearing. The emperor penguin is currently listed as near threatened by the International Union for Conservation of Nature. But Wainick said many experts have called for a 2023 review to uplist it to endangered. She said mitigating the effects of climate change was the only way to save the species, but changing its protection status would also raise awareness of the penguin's plight. An endangered listing could also lead the way for other measures, such as protecting the emperor's food source, including krill, fin fish, and squid from being overfished.
Dunhuang. Situated along the ancient Silk Road, where fine arts and divine beliefs merged with the natural world. It's where the East and West interacted, and where the world's largest Buddhist art gallery still fascinates and amazes people today. A place where stories of life and death, love and hatred, passion and desire, faith and sacrifice have been generated and told for 2,000 years. Buckle up for our new podcast, Why We Love Dunhuang, the one and only podcast that can take you to the fantasy world of Dunhuang and beyond through our audio tour. Listen and subscribe for free on the major podcast platforms. Why We Love Dunhuang. You will have your answers.
You're listening to Special English. I'm Tony Reed in Beijing. from stadiums and electric vehicles to cultural derivatives, a dazzling array of Chinese-made products has been unveiled at 2022 FIFA World Cup, and the names of Chinese enterprises can be easily seen on banners and pitchside signs. Zhou Jian, China's ambassador to Qatar, said China has made an impact on the world of football, even though its national team didn't qualify for the game's showpiece event. The gleaming Lusail Stadium, a centerpiece 80,000-seat venue for the World Cup, which will host the final and closing ceremony, was jointly constructed by Qatar and the China Railway Construction Corporation. Leading Chinese engineer Li Bai said it was the first time that a Chinese company carried out the design and construction work for a World Cup stadium. Chinese enterprises have also participated in the construction of the World Cup's Fan Village, some 6,000 container houses located south of Qatar's capital, Doha, for example, were supplied by Chinese firms with facilities including separate bathrooms and air conditioning. More than 3,000 Chinese-made buses are serving the streets of Qatar during the World Cup, including 888 pure electric vehicles that offer shuttle services for the thousands of officials, journalists, and fans of different countries. Chinese electrical appliance manufacturing giant Midea Group said 2,500 air conditioners have been installed to support the security check centers of competition venues. Machinery giant SANY Group also rode on the construction wave brought by the football bonanza with nearly 100 pieces of heavy equipment. From national flags to ornaments and pillows emblazoned with images of the World Cup trophy, products made in Yiwu, China's small commodity hub, enjoyed around 70% of the market share of the World Cup's peripheral goods. That's according to the Yiwu Sports Goods Association. According to Song Xiangqing, a research fellow at Beijing Normal University, the World Cup is a perfect stage for Chinese-made products, and the popularity of these products is a reflection of Chinese manufacturing entering the global high-end product market. Promoting their brands at the quadrennial event, Chinese enterprises have provided more sponsorship revenue for the host than companies from any other nation, with nearly $1.4 billion US in total investment. That's according to Global Data, a London-based consulting and analytics firm. Data from online marketplace AliExpress involving global trade also showed that sales of Chinese-produced flags and soccer shoes skyrocketed by 300% and 200% respectively in November from a month earlier due to the eye-catching World Cup. Meanwhile, Chinese soccer referees appeared at the FIFA World Cup field 20 years after debuting in the tournament in 2002. 43-year-old Ma Ning, China's FIFA-listed referee, has made his debut at the World Cup. China's Cao Yi and Shi Xiang joined the linemen group. FIFA hired 36 referees and 69 linemen for the Qatar tournament. This is Special English. Air China flight CA-451 recently flew from Chongqing Jiangbei International Airport to Dubai, marking the official resumption of regular passenger flights from the Southwest China metropolis to the Middle East. The Chongqing-Dubai route is operated by Airbus A330 every Monday and Saturday, according to the airport. Over the past few years, international passenger flights in Chongqing had been temporarily suspended due to COVID-19. The Chongqing-Dubai route, launched in 2016, is the city's first regular passenger route to the Middle East to be resumed, according to Chongqing Airport Group. Since the beginning of 2022, Chongqing has launched or resumed international passenger routes to Madrid, Rome, Bangkok, Vientiane, and Ho Chi Minh City. You're listening to Special English. I'm Tony Reed in Beijing. World-renowned leprosy expert Li Huanying passed away at the age of 101 in Beijing. Born in 1921 in Beijing, Li graduated from the School of Medicine at Tongji University in Shanghai and Johns Hopkins University in the United States. She became one of the first officials in the World Health Organization at the age of 29. After 7 years of service, she returned to China to join the country's fight against infectious diseases. Her study of leprosy started in 1978 when she was transferred to the Beijing Friendship Hospital. The ancient disease can cause deformity and disability in humans if not treated quickly. Li traveled to almost all of the leprosy villages in China's Yunnan, Guizhou, and Sichuan provinces, traversing mountains to see patients. Some of the villages were only accessible through cable climbing. After decades of research, Li verified a new way of treating the disease called short-term multi-drug therapy, which helped reduce the number of cases from more than 110,000 to less than 10,000. The therapy was adopted worldwide in 1994 with the help of the World Health Organization. With the effort of Li and many other medical workers, China announced in 2007 that the country had eliminated leprosy as a public health concern. Lee was awarded the first prize of the State Scientific and Technological Progress Award in 2001. She also received a Lifetime Achievement Award for China's prevention and treatment of leprosy in 2016. She was honored with the title Role Model of the Times in 2021. This is Special English. China's virtual reality industry attracts strong investment and financing as market players race to tap the burgeoning high-tech sector. According to the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, the scale of investment and financing in VR more than doubled in 2021. Currently, there are over 10,000 VR-related firms in China, pushing the technology's applications into various scenarios in industry, culture, and education, among others. Earlier this month, China unveiled a plan to boost the industry's development, aiming to expand its market scale to over 350 billion yuan, or about 49.4 billion US dollars by 2026. The plan aims to cultivate 100 top enterprises with strong innovation ability and industry influence, while also aiming to increase the sales of VR to over 25 million units. Meanwhile, a total of 107 projects worth 71.67 billion yuan were signed at the 2022 World Conference on the VR Industry, which just concluded in Nanchang, capital of East China's Jiangxi province. Themed VR adorns the world. VR brightens the metaverse. The two-day event zoomed in on development trends, challenges, and solutions, cutting-edge technologies, and the latest products in the VR industry. Since its first edition in 2018, the VR Industry Conference has been held annually in Nanchang. This is Special English. That's the end of this edition of Special English. To recap, I'm going to read one of the news items again at normal speed. Please listen carefully. China's solar exploration satellite has transmitted its first solar image since being sent to space in October. According to Gan Weichun, the satellite's principal scientist from the Chinese Academy of Sciences, the Advanced Space-Based Solar Observatory, nicknamed Kuafu-1 in Chinese, sent hard X-ray imaging of solar flares. Gan said the images were taken by the satellite-loaded hard X-ray imager. Although still in the testing period, the imaging effect is excellent, allowing the effective identification of both the eruptive details and the fire structure of the sun. Kuafu-1 was launched aboard a Long March 2D rocket on October 9th from the Jiuquan Satellite Launch Center in northwest China. The space-borne solar observatory, named after Kuafu, a giant in Chinese mythology who indefatigably chased the sun, runs in a sun-synchronous orbit, which is not hampered by the Earth's rotation, while an Earth-based telescope can see the sun only in the daytime. Gan said the observatory is capable of probing the sun 24 hours a day for most of the year. Its longest daily timeout is no more than 18 minutes when briefly running through the shadow of the Earth each day from May to August. This is the end of today's program. I'm Tony Reed in Beijing, and I hope you'll join us every day to learn English at a slower pace.
开自己，
感受轻松。
Easy FM 所听之处，皆有不同。轻松调频广。